going to ask Elisa if she could just read it out. So if you've got your Bible, I'm reading from the New King James, but whatever you choose to read from, just have a listen. I'm going to ask Elisa just to read that out right now.
Greeting to the...
Okay, we need that nice and loud.
Jude chapter 1. Greetings to the called.
Hallelujah.
Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace and love be multiplied to you.
All right, let's just stop there. Mercy, peace and love be multiplied to you. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, mercy, peace and love be multiplied to you. Hallelujah. Mercy, peace and love be multiplied to you. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. All right, that's very good. Verse 3, go.
Contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
We just enjoy reminding them of this. Keep going.
As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily into the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Glory to God. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. If you've never read a whole book of the Bible, you just did. Hallelujah. Thanks, Elisa. I really wanted to read that out because it's only small. And though it might not fit into conventional church 15-minute sermon, that's too bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to have a look here, particularly at verse 20. And I wanted her to read it so that we understand the context that this is being written. He's saying, "Beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." He was telling them this in the midst of people mocking you, in the midst of deception, in the midst of all the fray, the to-ing and the fro-ing and the stuff. My kids used to listen to a song by the Lads called Cannibalism. And they wrote this song. It's a Christian band. They wrote this song called Cannibalism is Wrong. Don't eat your best friend's thigh. You know why. Cannibalism is wrong. It's a funny song, but it's very poignant, very true, in that the biting and the stuff that can go on in human society, it just is, because that's the enemy's there, and he wants to keep everybody distracted from the main goal, which is to bring to Christ the reward of his suffering. He wants to distract us in any way possible to keep us from relationship with Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Jesus died so we could have relationship with the Father. Amen? Amen? And so the enemy wants to distract us. Bob Jones at the beginning of the year released a prophetic word, and it was particularly with regard to distractions. Beware of distractions. And distractions are these things that you can easily start getting caught up in. You can start wanting to try and get into the flesh and fight flesh and blood and argue and get caught up in stuff. And it's easy too to be in the midst of people with flattering words wanting to cause division and stuff going on. Or you could be mocked or made to feel like you're a flake or a fool. My father used to call Pentecostals hallelujah flop downs. Because they'd say hallelujah and flop down. But he loved me. But, you know, there's people who mock you for your faith, who'll try and make you feel like you're some idiot. The goal of that being that if at the very least we could get them to behave in a way that is not going to cause any rumble in the spiritual realm, if we could get them to behave in a way that Christianity is just some little badge that they put on Sundays, maybe we can limit the effectiveness of the church. That's the plan of the enemy, to try and get you to be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. You know, religious spirits make you want to try and fit in. Blend in. Don't cause waves. We don't want any attention drawn to you, because if your attention starts getting drawn, what are we going to have? Revival. Hallelujah. But you know, the flesh is not comfortable with being made a spectacle. The apostle said that we are a spectacle on show. And, you know, if you are a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that the world will hate you. They'll hate you. And if they don't hate you, maybe you're undercover so much that they can't even see that you really are a Christian. Hallelujah. But the wonderful news is that he says, when this stuff is going on and this stuff is happening all around you, he says, this is how I want you to stay safe. This is how I'm going to keep you from being dragged away into offense. This is how I'm going to keep you from deception. This is how I'm going to keep you free from the fear of man and from being caught up in all the cannibalism that goes on. He says, so in that context, listen to the instruction of the Holy Ghost. He says, but you, beloved, he speaks to me and calls me beloved. He calls you beloved too, Mary. Yes, he calls you beloved too. Isn't that lovely? He looks at you, he doesn't go, you who I'm still considering about letting into the kingdom. You who, oh, there you are again, that annoying person. He never looks at you like that. He looks at you and he says, beloved. And you might look back at him and go, oh God, I'm so pathetic. Oh God, I did this, I got that. He goes, you're beloved. You're my beloved. Clean, pure, holy and lovely, washed by the blood of the Lamb, full of the Holy Ghost and power, beloved, apple of my eye. And that's enough to get happy on. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's, if you can't let your faith be released to receive that, it'll be hard for you to receive anything that the Lord wants to speak to you. Because unless you truly know that you are the beloved, you can't really know that all these good things that he promises, the anointing to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, the anointing to preach the gospel, the anointing, all of those things, you can't truly receive them by faith until you know, yes, he gives them to me, not because I'm good, but because I'm his beloved, because he loves me, he's forgiven me. And as we clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, as we come before him and we meditate on what he's done and how much he loves us, then it's easy to take up that which he's put upon us. He says, you, beloved. I could just read that all night and we'll just get quite filled and happy. But you, beloved. You can turn to somebody and say, beloved. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How do you build yourself up on your most holy faith? It says here, praying in the Holy Spirit. But you know, there's a number of things you can do to build yourself up in your most holy faith. I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. We were talking on Wednesday night a little bit about keeping the testimony and thinking about the good things that God has done. I think I shared a little bit last week about this, remembering your personal history with God. Yeah. Being able to say, my God who did this for me, my God who I encountered here. You know, since I was about 14, I kept a little journal. I've still got it at home. And I'd write in it, God did this, or God spoke this. Or I'd write a little scripture that he lit up to me. Or I'd write how he healed my thumb, how he opened the door for me when I was locked out. I remember. I haven't forgotten. And these things build me up in my most holy faith. The Lord told the Israelites to build memorials, like build memorial stones. And he'd tell them, I want you to walk past those things. Every time you walk past them, I want you to tell your children, look what the Lord did. Those stones are there because God did this for us. And the reason for that is that they would be built up in their most holy faith. And God wants us to be thinking about these things. When the fray is going on and the cannibalism's happening, it's very easy just to get consumed with the thoughts of the fray, isn't it? So he says, ha ha, but beloved. And as is also spoken in Corinthians, he says, I want you to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Philippians says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. And then he says, and whatever is pure and lovely and of a good report, think on these things. And so to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, we've got to be, we've got to war with the truth of what the Lord has done. We've got to go to war in deliberately casting down all the other stuff and say, I'm not going to let this distract me and clutter my mind. I'm not going to talk to the hand, devil. I am not going to go there. Hallelujah. You can actually tell. I do this sometimes when I have besetting thoughts, troubling stuff. You know, I'll actually go out loud and say, I'm not going there, devil. I'm not going there. I'm not going to engage in that. I'm not going to think about that right now. Hallelujah. Because the enemy wants to try and drag you down. He wants to get your eyes looking down. He wants you to look at the goings on, and he wants you to get worried and distracted. And the more you look at that stuff, the bigger it becomes in your eyes. And it's all you want to talk about. It's all you can think about. It's all you can dream about. Because what goes in is what comes out. So he says, set your mind on things above, things that are pure and lovely and of a good report. We've got to also be thinking about the things that build us up in our most holy faith, talking about the great things that God has done. I like to get out the testimonies and read about the woman that was healed of cancer. I like to read about that one that was healed of arthritis. I like to think about what the Lord did, how he broke through for me with this and what he did here and how he healed me and how he's done this. And when I think about these things, sometimes you have to be really deliberate. Yes. Sometimes it's a good thing to have it written down, to be able to get it out and say, yeah, I remember. And if you've got nothing to say, yes, I can thank God for, you can thank him that you're saved. You start thinking about that. Think about what he saved you from and you'll get happy. Hallelujah. So you build yourselves up in your most holy faith. But he says this is also one of the key things for building yourselves up in your most holy faith is to pray in the Holy Spirit. And the gift of tongues is an amazing thing, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost was evidenced with with unknown tongues, people praying in tongues. And sometimes you have the gift of tongues come upon you. Like on Sunday, James was praying in the prayer meeting, and Brian, who speaks Hebrew, just said, James, you are speaking perfect Hebrew. And he was declaring in Hebrew the praises of God. And it was quite amazing. And I've had that happen in prayer meetings too. Once I was praying and I was speaking in Zulu. And there was a lady from South Africa who said, do you know what you're saying in Zulu? And I was declaring the praises of God. And so the gift of tongues is something that does come upon people, like surprise. Surprise Sitoli. Anybody here for Surprise Sitoli? He's coming again in January. Hallelujah. Well, he's the most amazing man. He goes into a village and God just downloads the language. He speaks 15 different languages and I think he's learnt 3. English isn't one of them. And if you've heard him speak in English, you'll know. The God just downloads languages to him. And that's an exciting thing. But, you know, the Bible talks about speaking in unknown tongues too. And that's our personal prayer language, which is an unknown tongue. And the Bible says that those who speak in an unknown tongue edify themselves and build themselves up in their most holy faith. It says those who speak in unknown tongues utter mysteries to God. Yes. Hallelujah. They utter mysteries to God. And you know, when you're praying in the Spirit, what's happening is you're getting built up in your most holy faith. You're uttering mysteries to God and God is revealing to you the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. For us, angels long to look into this, but to us it's been revealed, the mysteries of the kingdom, and those mysteries are revealed as we pray in the Spirit. Ooh, that's true. That's where revelation comes from. Hallelujah, from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so the Bible also says that when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in an unknown tongue, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes through us. With groans, he intercedes through us for us. Like he prays for you as you are praying in an unknown tongue. That's very exciting. Yes. He prays the perfect will of God for you. As you begin to open your mouth and pray, the more you pray, the more the Holy Spirit is praying for you and setting up the path in front of you. It's like bricks being put down, laid down. I remember, Tanya, you shared a story about that once with us, that, you know, there was one man that just, he had a season in his life where all he did was just pray in tongues for, I don't know how long it was for, 3 years or something. 8 months. Just praying in tongues every day for like 8 hours a day. And God just went before him and just set everything up. Just astounding. And that's I found that one day while I was on the treadmill praying to the Lord. Haven't been on the treadmill for a very long time. Hallelujah. But as I was praying in the spirit, I thought, I'm going to do this praying in tongues thing, because I had read Jackie Pullinger's story. Anybody read Jackie Pullinger's story, Chasing the Dragon? And she was a missionary in Hong Kong. And she had been baptized in the Holy Spirit because she went to some friends of hers. She'd been working for a year in the walled cities, not seen a single soul come to Christ. And her friend said, we need to pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so she was baptized with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. But she didn't really know what the whole speaking in other tongues thing was all about, you know. So she thought, well, I'm just going to do this 15 minutes a day and see what happens. If it's God, it's got to be good. So she just put a clock on the mantle and began to pray 15 minutes a day. And she said after 6 weeks of doing this, she started to see soul after soul after soul come to Christ. And she'd bring them to the Lord and immediately pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the same moment. She'd say, now you've accepted Christ, the Lord wants to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then as they'd pray in tongues, these heroin addicts would get set free. Yes. Hallelujah, get delivered, praying in tongues. And so I read this story and went, that's really good, I'm going to do that. Because I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and received the gift of tongues when I was about 14. Because that's what Pentecostals do, you know, you get baptized in water and you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I received the gift of tongues, but I didn't really understand the power of what I had received. And I'd read stories like Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake and think their experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was rather different to mine. I'd sort of think, hang on, I don't know if I got what they got. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But, you know, I believe you get what you expect. If you expect the gift of tongues, you'll get the gift of tongues. If you expect to be clothed with power from on high, you'll receive the clothing of power from on high. Hallelujah. Because it's according to your faith.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's good, James. Encourage me. That's good. I need it. So we're going to pray, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. And I tell you, I pray in the Spirit all the time. What it does is it stirs up the prophetic anointing. How can you prophesy it without the help of the Holy Ghost? Because the prophetic anointing is revealing mysteries and the secrets of men's hearts that you do not know. So you need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. If you're going out on the streets to bring the lost into the kingdom, God wants to be able to reveal the secrets of men's hearts to you so that you can go and pray for them and they can come to Christ. They can say, only God could know that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's what we're doing on Monday night. We're doing some training on that over at Access. Hallelujah. It says, building yourselves. Oh, no, we better read this other one a bit again because it's good. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. He says when all of this stuff is going on, people are and stuff, ugly stuff's going on. What you don't do is go, I've had enough of church, Christians, had enough of them, hypocrites, I'm out of here. Sadly, that's what a lot of people do. And then they get into self-righteousness and think that they're so much better than everybody else. And they start backbiting and they don't even realize that they're doing exactly the same thing that they went away from the church for. I've fallen into that trap. I was getting so angry. at this ministry that seemed to have no other ministry but to pull everybody else's ministry down. Made me so mad. I thought, they don't even know those people. They're talking about people they've never met and they're criticizing them. And it made me see red. I was so angry. And Tom saw me getting so angry and he said, Catherine, do you know what you're doing? I said, yes, do you see this? It's just so bad. I was watching it on the TV. And he says, turn it off. He said, you are not to watch that ever again. And I realized that I was doing exactly the same thing that I was criticizing him for doing. I was out there going, he's doing this and he's doing that and they're doing this and that. We are not called to do that. God is well able to take care of things. Our call, he says, when that stuff's going on, this is what I want you to do. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, and keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He says, I want you to look up. I want you to let me be the glory and the lifter of your head. And I want you to keep yourself in the love of God. You know, in order to keep yourself in the love of God, it's an instruction. This isn't something we pray and ask God for. He says this is what you need to do. You need to position yourself in that place where I can bucket my love on you. It's his instruction that says, I want you to keep yourself in the love of God. For me, it's on the floor in my bedroom every day where I set time aside for God to restore my soul. Hallelujah. I lie down in green pastures and he restores my soul. It's that place where I've got to keep myself. I've got to contend not to get up and fight and fuss and worry and ring. Oh, this is going on and that's happening and then. But to keep myself in the love of God, to guard my heart with all diligence and say, I am not made for this stuff. I am not made for that. I am made to be the beloved of God. This is my job. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And then love others. And so it cuts through all the fray, all the stuff. He says, keep yourselves. Deliberately fight to get yourself into that position where I can pour out the love of God into your heart. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 that he says that he prays for all of the saints. And that's you. God calls you a saint. He says you're a saint. He says, I'm a saint, Saint Catherine. Hallelujah. I'm a saint because what he's done for me. He says, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. He prays that we would be strengthened with might in our inner man by the Holy Spirit. So that we could truly come to know together with all the saints what is the height and the depth and the breadth, the love of God that passes knowledge. You know, that we'd be rooted and grounded in that love so that we could be filled with all the fullness of God. Ha! You know, when you start to get a revelation that I am not called to fight in the fray, but I am called to keep myself in the love of God. Yes. You will shine so brightly that those who are caught up in the fist fights will get distracted and go, why are they so shiny? Why are they so peaceful? People will be drawn to you like moths to a flame. I just want to get close. I just like Mary's hugs. I'll have one of them. They just want to get close because you carry the love of God. Hallelujah. And it frustrates the enemy no end. He's like, make louder noise. Come on, somehow. Make more noise. Make more distraction. And the more distraction that comes, if you will deliberately keep yourself in the love of God, He can't touch you. And the more the darkness grows, the brighter your light shines. Hallelujah. The enemy hates this fact, but the fact is that God is for us. Amen. Who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for your word. You're perfect and wonderful and lovely. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd help us, Jesus, to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. I declare, God, you are our glory and the lifter of our heads tonight, Lord. Father, I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Father, I'm asking, Lord, for tonight, Father, for people to receive the gift of tongues, Holy Spirit, Shabanya Kasta, that they'd be Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, clothed with power from on high. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm going to pray for people tonight, but I want to ask if there's anybody here tonight that says, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. I want to be clean. I want my sins forgiven. Hallelujah. Tonight, God can do that for you. There can be a divine exchange where you say, Lord, I want to give you my life and I want to receive your life. I want to give you my ashes and receive your beauty. I want to give you my sin and receive your holiness, your righteousness. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand and wave at me and I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. I want you to pray. Everybody pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I come in your name to my heavenly Father. And I ask, Lord, that you would forgive me for all of my sin. Take my sin, Lord, and I receive your mercy. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. I believe it is enough to completely forgive me and make me whole. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and help me to know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you prayed that for the first time tonight, make sure you come and see me or James and Rochelle here or Tom.